Have you heard of the little church that could? Join Pastor Bob Enyart at Denver Bible Church for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship service from 10:50 until noon, and our Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m. Located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado. Join us on Sundays as we study the meat of the Word of God, to worship our awesome Creator and to equip the saints for the service of the Lord.
And greetings to the best, greatest audience in all of America. I think that's what Bob says, something close to that. I am Greg Jackson, filling in for Bob Enyart today. Bob is ailing, and I'm going to do my best to fill his shoes. Now listen, today we have a very, very special program because, by the way, Daryl Berkey, welcome to the Bob Enyart studio. You're going to help me try to fill these big shoes.
Hi, Greg.
Daryl Berkey, producer extraordinaire, here at Bob Enyart Live, and I are going to bring to you a presidential candidate running for president in 2012 live right now, who I can almost guarantee the vast majority of you have probably not heard about. And no, I'm not talking about Doug McBurney. Doug McBurney is not running for president, at least as far as I'm told.
I was hoping.
He might still be running. He'd make a good president, Doug.
I think you would.
In many regards. But in all seriousness, folks, yesterday I had the pleasure of being interviewed on this next guest radio program out of Seattle. She's a nationally syndicated radio show host and a really extraordinary woman. And we had a pretty amazing conversation. We talked about our forthcoming book that I know Bob has talked about here, called We Won't Get Fooled Again, Where the Christian Right Went Wrong and How to Make America Right Again. And it dovetailed perfectly because this woman is essentially walking by faith in obedience to God and all the things that we talk about in our book. This woman is attempting to do. And so I wanted to bring her on to talk about who she is, why she's running for president, and to ask her some questions that I would die to ask any of the candidates running for president. So without any further ado, do we have Miss Lori Roth on the line?
Hi, Greg. It's me.
Lori Roth, good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Lori, I am so glad that you have joined us here in the studio. Say hi to Daryl.
Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Lori.
So, Lori, your story, I have to admit, I have just begun to learn about you, what you believe, what you care about most, why you're running for president. But before we get into that, I want you to introduce, this is the largest Christian radio station in the Rocky Mountains. It's basically a regional show. We are heard in various, you know, surrounding states. I've been up in Casper, Wyoming. I've heard this station. I know up in Montana, various locations. So talk to the Rocky Mountain people here, a lot of Christian listeners that I believe, Lori, are, like me, very dissatisfied with the current crop of Republican candidates. That's why I think there's so much dissatisfaction in the polls, so much lukewarmness in terms of energy and enthusiasm levels for any of these candidates, because they're all lukewarm. They're all essentially, none of them, at least in my opinion, really get to the heart of the matter with what Americans, specifically Christians, care about most. So that's why I wanted to bring you on, because you're intriguing to me, Lori, because you hit on a lot of those issues. And I think even though this is very unorthodox that a David-like candidate, a shepherd boy, or shepherd woman in this case, coming out of the fields when much of the Republican Party and the establishment wants a Saul-like candidate and not a contrarian, unorthodox person like you. But I think, Lori, that your story is very, very interesting on a number of levels. Before we talk about your core beliefs and what you believe you would bring to the table as president of the United States, tell us a little bit about Lori Roth Yeah, I mean, you're a talk show host. You're known as the Annie Oakley of the airwaves. You were involved in a bad motorcycle accident that almost killed you. So talk a little bit. Tell us a little bit about Lori Roth. What should people know about you, Lori?
Number one, I love the Lord. And without the Lord and his love, I wouldn't be here. It's a miracle that I'm alive. I can think and talk and walk. I had to learn to do it all again in 2005. I had no health insurance, and we were hit with a $500,000 accident. It destroyed my career, my face, my health, everything. God brought me back. And I'm a survivor. I'm a mom. I love my kids. We foster adopted both our kids and their precious treasures. I love my country, and for years I've been praying for mercy for our country. I've been hearing how folks have given up. Some are hiding under the bed. Our country, oh, God's judging us. Oh, he's done with us. We're done. We've already gone to hell. And I have, for some reason in my spirit, been grieved when I hear that. Fight for your country. Pray for your country. Get our country back. Have a vision for who we were. Don't just let the hellish imposters take it away. And I believe that last January, he put a call on my heart. And I knew it was out of nowhere, and I had no money, and I wasn't a millionaire, a lawyer, a politician. And I remember having ridiculous conversations with God. God, are you missing something here? Did you miss that I live in a double wide and I have no money? Did you miss that I'm not a politician and can't impress anyone with being an ex-governor? And God told me, Lori, read the story of Gideon again. So I did. Okay. So you want me to take on the Midianites? Oh, good. That's good. And that's how he started to encourage me and grab me. And he confirmed in so many ways, and he brought a little team together. And finally, after exploring in the summer, putting an exploratory press release out and WorldNet Daily picking it up, finally, just a few months ago, actually a month ago, I finally felt in my spirit, it's time to get busy, Lori. If you're a woman of faith, then really walk forward and trust me for the money, trust me for the media, trust me. Just trust me and deal with it. And so it's been a battle. It's been good. So I sent out my press release, and Joseph Farah and WorldNet Daily put it on their banner headline for 2 days, and that shocked me because I don't write for him. I know of him. I've interviewed him once or twice on my show, but not more than that. So God put me in a high-profile place there, and from there I've gotten a national TV interview request from a Christian network that I'm going to shoot next week. And so God is starting to bring it in, and I just recorded my first 3 videos a few days ago that I just posted today, of all days, for you to talk with me. Today they were posted on my YouTube channel and will be embedded in Lori Roth 2012 shortly. My YouTube channel is Team Lori Roth 2012. And it's me with no notes, just speaking from my heart. So you'll see my damaged eye from my wreck that doesn't work very well. And just me talking with the folks. And I guess that's what's grieved me, Greg, is where are the real people, the people that really do love their country, that really are pro-life and not pro-choice and magically pro-life and, oh, back and forth. I am the real conservative running. I am a real Christian. I do love my country, and I have specific ideas on what to do to fix it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, Lori. By the way, give out your website for those who might be listening. We're speaking with Lori Roth. Greg Jackson filling in for Bob Enyart on Bob Enyart Live. Got Daryl Burkey with me in studio with presidential candidate Lori Roth. And isn't it theLoriRothShow.com, your main website, Lori? Give it out.
Yeah, TheRothShow.com is my website, TheRothShow.com.
TheRothShow.com.
You can listen in free, and there's archives that are free, and people can. It's 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific.
And then give out that web address on YouTube for those who want to view your presidential campaign videos, the 3 new ones that were posted today. Give it out one more time.
Just go to youtube.com/TeamLoriRoth2012.
And that's L-A-U-R-I-E-R-O-T-H 2012.
Yeah.
All right, so, yeah. Lori, let me just start by saying that I have to admit I haven't watched too many of these presidential debates. I watched a couple of them. I can't really stomach them. I'd rather watch, like, my wife was watching Hog Tires or Hog Bounty Hunters on Discovery, and I found that to be more interesting than a Republican debate about, you know, going hogging in South Carolina.
And no, anyway,
because it's all the same old tripe establishment, mumbo jumbo, jobs, putting people first and, you know, getting jobs. And that's the major problem our country faces, when you and I both know that what ails America the most is spiritual. And that the liberals, and even Obama and Pelosi and all the Democrats, are merely a symptom of a far greater problem, aren't they? That what really ails America is inherently spiritual. We are a nation that has rejected God, that we said, we don't need you, God. And a nation where even among Christians, we can't fully articulate our beliefs and defend our beliefs in the public square, which is why the left is winning the culture war by and large. And really, when I'm looking at the debate, I'm saying to myself, with the exception of maybe Alan Keyes and others who aren't running for president, nobody is articulating what the major problem is in this country and what the major answers are. But you talk about some of those things. Give us, in, you know, your 30,000 foot view, and then you can drill down. What is the major problem we in America face right now? And then go into a little bit about what your first priorities would be as commander in chief.
Number one, as you said, is we are a nation that has been in rebellion and distraction and avoidance of the truth for a long time. We must come back to God. And in Chronicles, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will they hear from heaven, and then will I heal their land. That is God's plan for America. Repent, and I will heal your land. And I believe he wants to bring mercy to this country and use us to be a light on a hill to defend freedom and truth and his word and Israel. I believe that.
Amen.
And I've been praying that God will raise up real Christians. We've had plenty of posers, sick opposers. But when I look down at the 30,000...
You too? I thought I was the only one.
When I look down at the 30,000 foot level, obviously it's spiritual, but then specifics. We are massively in debt. We are a nation that is being oppressed. We've been trained to be serfs for decade after decade with taxation. I am running on tax revolution. It's chapter two in my book, The People's President, which is on Amazon.com. It's what I talk about on my show and what I believe with all my heart God gave me. 2% point of purchase tax and eradication of all federal tax. No more income tax, capital gains, payroll, excise, any kind of federal tax, the sneaky tax, all of the in-between taxes are gone. Do you know how much money we have if you include all government transactions, including Wall Street, that we could tax? $900 trillion with a T every year. So $10 to $20 trillion would be coming in every year. That's when I get excited, because I talk about it in my book and on my show about the national wallet.
Mm-hmm.
If you had real transparency in the White House and morality, and you had $10 to $20 trillion coming in a year, we'd be out of debt, completely out of debt. And the wonder of the world, with our currency being sought after from everywhere, within 3 to 4 years, we would have the best military and fund it more of what it needs to put it back where it is rather than hurt it. We could honor our seniors with Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid CHIPs, do infrastructure projects, and then, you know, create all kinds of jobs, because you'd have money to do it, and people would be liberated from income tax the whole time.
So if you've just...
I get excited about that. I get passionate about that.
I can tell. You're fired up.
People. And I've asked a representative and a lawyer, why haven't any Democrat or Republican leadership ever done this? If they knew, it would immediately free the people and businesses, so they wouldn't be persecuted for achievement,
mm-hmm.
and they actually could keep their money. Why? And they said, control, Lori. The IRS controls people. It tracks people. They want that control. You know, that's evil. That's unconstitutional. It's immoral, and it's not necessary.
That's true. That's true. Before I bring Daryl Burkey into this to ask you a question, let me just ask you, what is the primary role in your eyes of civil government? What is the primary
role? You mean the federal government?
Why does the federal government, why does civil government exist in the first place?
To protect the people.
To protect the people, innocent human life, you would say, correct?
Yes. Military protection. And we have not done that. We have, what, 52 to 55 million abortions? We've committed genocide for decades, since 73.
I obviously have written a lot about this. I talk about this any chance I can get. I believe, like you, that that is the chief duty of civil government, is to protect the inalienable right to life.
That's right.
That's why it's listed first. As you note on your website, your presidential 2002 website, that that is the chief duty of civil government. All of the founding fathers, from Jefferson to Madison, Frank, all of them said the same thing. So why is it then that none of the presidential candidates talk about that as being the primary issue? And secondarily, as president, what would you do as president to enforce the inalienable right to life for all, which is currently being violated in each and every state in the United States of America?
Well, you're right. That is number one. When you're the president, I just wrote an article about it this week, our job is to protect all people, young and old. And that means, and like you say, whether a person's a Christian or not, the first right listed in the Declaration of Independence is life. That's your right.
Amen.
And so who's going to represent the little one that's been slaughtered in the womb in court? Who's going to represent them? That's unconstitutional. It's immoral. It's not American, and it's not biblical. I would first do everything within my power, to stop all funding to federal abortions, Planned Parenthood. All abortion centers would be stopped. States' rights, states are sovereign, but I would make a stand federally wherever I possibly could, because that's evil, it's immoral, it's unconstitutional, and it's against the Declaration. So, I mean, this idea that we would dare fund abortion centers, and within this health care bill, that has to be destroyed. It's forcing us all to be serial killers, as I've said many times on air. It's forcing us to pay for abortions, and he lied about that. We are paying for them.
Lori, I have a question. Would you criminalize abortion in America?
Meaning abortion providers?
Would you criminalize anyone getting an abortion in America?
I'd have to think about what context you're talking about. It's a crime to give an abortion, yes.
Okay.
And I think that I would want to reach out to people and draw them back, but the idea of playing 50-yard line with that is wrong, and we've done it for decades.
Okay.
So, I mean, what is your thought on that? What do you think needs to be done?
Well, my thought is that abortion is murder.
Yes.
So why would we not treat it like murder?
And what I've always said, let me just try to add to that too, is, Lori, that the Constitution is explicit. The 14th Amendment states that no individual person shall be deprived of life or property without due process of the law and equal protection under the laws, correct? So when any state is in – now, you mentioned that the states are sovereign. Well, the United States Constitution is supreme law of the land and trumps any state constitution or statute or law in any individual state. So my whole argument is, and I'm just fleshing this out with you as potential president.
No, fair enough.
What I'm wondering is, what would stop the chief law enforcement officer, the president of the United States, when individual states are not in compliance with, when they are in violation of the 14th Amendment, equal protection under, when they are depriving their individual citizens of equal protection under the laws by allowing them to be murdered in their individual states, doesn't the President of the United States have an obligation to then intercede and to force those states to come into compliance with the supreme law of the land?
You're right. I 100% agree. I do.
All right.
Because
well,
when it comes to and wrong.
I get tired of the abortion games I've been hearing with the GOP debates and establishment. You know, it's amazing how many of them were pro-choice and magically now pro-life when it's expedient, but their voting record, like Romney, is pro-choice over and over and over again. Again, people are terrified of this issue. And then even Herman Cain, before he bowed out, he was pro-life, but then he was, I'm pro-choice in case of rape. There's things you can do if a person's raped to get checked right away. You don't have to wait till you're pregnant to get checked and get help.
Well, that's
two wrongs don't make a right, and I think that's a lame argument. you don't kill a child because you had a horrible thing happen to you.
Yeah, one of the things that bothers me is a lot of times we get into these talking about jurisdiction, but there is no jurisdiction on right and wrong.
That's true.
If you are in a position of authority, it is your obligation, whether you are a Supreme Court justice, whether you are the president, whether you are the mayor or the dog catcher, to protect life in America. And if at any level you passed a law to protect life, we should support it.
Well,
I don't care if a judge does
it. We need it in the White House, and we need it in the House and the Senate. We need people who understand that it isn't a head of lettuce or something like that in the womb. It's an inspired life by God at the point of fertilization. Even Newt Gingrich seemed to be confused. He said on ABC TV, life starts at conception.
Implantation, he said.
Oh, no, implantation.
Right.
He said implantation instead of fertilization. And I'm going, does he not get science or something? He doesn't understand fertilization? They don't know how to talk about this issue because people don't want to admit that God breathes life into the egg and the sperm when it meets.
That's right, and he's the ultimate author of life. So if you were up on stage with Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich and all of the rest of the phony balonies running for president right now, and you were asked the same question that Michelle Bachmann was recently asked, which was, what role does your faith play, or what will it play in the decision-making as president of the United States? How would you answer that question?
My faith is my skeletal structure. It's my core at my bone marrow. It is what gives me strength. It is what gives me protection and inspiration to actually have the audacity to lead the best country on earth. It is what gives you the security of knowing that I'm not another egomaniac, that I do love the Lord, and I'm accountable to the Lord, and I bow down to the Lord, not the Saudi king. I bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Islam, not New Age, not global elitism, not Anna Nicole Smith's ghost, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm proud of it.
Hey, I would just challenge you in this. When you're thinking through that whole idea of the criminality of abortion, that if you know it's murder, one of the problems we have with abortion in America, the biggest problem is because the church has failed in this issue. Because if the church would turn around and say abortion has to be illegal now, it would happen in a very short time. When it comes to criminality, abortion is murder, and it's murder for hire. When the abortion murders this baby, someone has paid him. The person who paid him is not an innocent victim. It's a guilty murder for hire.
That's right. Complicit. And that's good, Lori. You're the first candidate that I've heard that actually said that you'd abide by your constitutionally sworn oath. Hey, that's a novel approach. You'd actually put your hand on the Bible.
This isn't the first time I've said something like that or believed something like that. I've written articles about this. I've screamed about it for years on my show. Life is designed and breathed into existence by God. And we have had, like you said, organized mass murder campaigns and genocide in Auschwitz for years and decades, and 73 especially. And what a shame. It's amazing to me God hasn't destroyed America already.
Amen. Thank God that he's tarried. And that's why whenever I'm asked the question or am told by somebody that there's no hope for America, we're just living in the Laodicean church, my reading of the Bible says the exact opposite, which is that, well, that may be true, but we don't know the time or the place of his return, because he said only the Father knows. And so our obligation as Christians, as ambassadors of Christ, is to advance righteousness in every area, to be truth, to be salt and light, to be light in a dark world, regardless of when he comes back. And that's what I love about you, Lori, is that you have God's Holy Spirit within you, and it's so evident. And you're a humble person, and you are trusting God truly to do all of the work on this campaign. I mean, you know you don't have a dime in the bank. But you are truly in obedience to God. And the last thing, we only have a couple minutes left, Lori, and we're going to have to talk to you a little bit more, flushing some of these issues out as people become more familiar with you. But I want you to share with the audience, you had a dream or a vision that God shared with you that you are going to win.
Yes,
by a certain percentage point. Share that with our listeners.
I was watching the movie with my family, Iron Will, a true story about a dog sled champion in 1917, Will Stoneman, and his struggles, and they tried to bribe him to get out. He started out totally outside the box, no coverage of the media because he didn't have a sponsor or anything. The bottom line is he won, barely, at the end, and it cost him. He was attacked, all kinds of stuff. Well, right towards the end of that movie, I heard a voice, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit, and he said, that's exactly how your campaign's going to be. And so I watched the movie again the next day, trying to pay more attention to it, and as I noticed, Will Stoneman won, barely. And then when I was walking my dogs, like I shared with you yesterday, I was walking my dogs and I kept hearing 3%, 3%. And I said, God, what do you mean 3%? And God said, you're going to win by 3%, Lori. And I just said, okay. And he has continued to, from there, I walked forward. And even then, it took me a couple months to declare. And he's just been training me and teaching me about faith, not looking at myself, not looking at what I don't have, looking to him. Mm-hmm. What does he have? His ways are not our ways. So that's what I heard.
Amen. And you also saw a couple of ships, and you were in a, with 60 seconds left. Give us a quick, rowboat.
I saw myself in a little rowboat, and I was looking at these arrogant, huge luxury liners riding by me, these campaign luxury liners. Mm. And I was saying to God, Lord, it's just me in a rowboat, and I'm competing against all these luxury liners. And Jesus said, but Lori, I'm in the boat with you. I've renamed all the names of these ships. Notice what their names are. Every one of them had Titanic written on it.
Amen.
And there was the iceberg, and the Lord pointed at it. And then smiled at me. That was the last thing I heard.
Well, Lori, I want to encourage you to trust and be obedient to the Lord, because he is our only saving grace. He's our only option. Amen. And give your website out one more time before we let you go.
TheRothShow.com or LoriRoth2012.com.
LoriRoth2012. Lori, an honor and a blessing having you in. Daryl Berkey, thanks so much. Russ, great job behind the board. God bless you all. KGov.com is the website. Go get some Christmas presents. There's good stuff. KGOV.com. Do right.
Marriage is the very foundation of human society. But it was God's idea to begin with. What is God's plan for your marriage? How can you know? What can you do to learn and grow with your spouse to honor God in your marriage? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this deeply personal and critically important topic in his teaching series, God's Plan for Marriage. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.